Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
Welcome to Barbecue Nation with JT's After Hours. Conversation that took place after the broadcast ended.
It's Barclays for your gold, silver, collectibles, rare coins, and high-quality jewelry. That's Barclays in Oregon, 503-982-2033. 503-982-2033, at BarclaysBuySellPawn.com. Hey, everybody, welcome to the After Hours portion of Barbecue Nation. I got it right this time. How about that? We've asked Max Good to stick around for a little bit and talk a few more minutes with us. Tell us whatever's on his mind. So before we go about some more toys, trinkets, and tin cups that you saw there in Dallas, what was your overall observation of the show?
Well, many were complaining that they felt attendance was down. That's unfortunate. There was some speculation as to why that was. The barbecue sector was pretty well represented, but some of the hearth stuff, you know, the fireplaces
right.
and furnaces were not as well attended as in past shows. So hopefully that'll right itself. The next show is in Louisiana, so that's a fun town. Look forward to being there again. Since my focus is on barbecue equipment, even though the show covers more than that, it was a good show for me. Some years I've gone and felt like, well, I don't see anything that really is grabbing me. Nothing. There's always new products, but some of it is just the same old thing with a different logo on the lid or, you know, people going, oh, look at this great spatula I got. Well, that's nice. Good luck with that. You know, I don't want to sound smug, but that is with any business, I'm sure, any industry event, you tend to see a lot of that. But this show, I saw at least several new brands, new products that we've already kind of touched on, some of them, you know, that are
right.
very cool. And, some of them aren't available in the U.S. yet, as I mentioned, so I'm not going to do a lot with those yet. You know, there's stuff sold all over the world and that we never see in the U.S., so I don't want to entice all of your listeners
with sure.
that they'd have to order from the Mideast or something, you know, and pay all the shipping.
It could be tough. It could be tough. So let me ask you this, Max. If I said, what would you recommend? You've been to these shows a ton of times, and we're talking about the patio and hearth and barbecue show Max just came from down in Dallas. But what would you say? Hey, barbecue business people, this is what we need to do, or this is what I, Max the good, the first to, decree for you here. What would you tell them?
Gosh, well, if we keep harping about that thermostatic control on gas grills, as you know, I think we talked about the new Masterbuilt smoker that has that, and that's groundbreaking. And I have come to the conclusion that everybody's working on it. When it's ready, we're going to start seeing it. So it's, you know, I can keep saying that till I turn blue because I know everybody's working on it and we will see it one day, I'm sure. Other than that, people are responding to the market. There's a much greater interest in smoking, much greater interest in pellet smokers, which used to be just a mysterious animal to so many people, and now that's changed dramatically. And
oh yeah,
because they basically have onboard computers and they have electronics and motors and a bit of technology. They're natural for other technological advancements like remote control and monitoring. Everybody's coming out with these really cool apps. I just got the new Traeger Ironwood, which has their I want to say they call it Smart Fire technology. It's a wonderful app, and that's technology.
You know. Yeah, yeah.
People like now. You know, it's funny. There are the old timers that say, "Oh, I don't want a digital thermometer. I don't want apps. I want to sit by my big old offset smoker and drink beer, and I'll stay up all night and I'll tend logs, and that's, you know, well, that's okay if that's what you want to do." But they shouldn't point fingers at people and say, "Well, if you're cheating," you know. Most people don't have the time or dedication to do very complex stuff. And so they would never even try to make brisket at home. They'll go to a restaurant and try to and get whatever they can, you know.
Yeah, well,
which oftentimes isn't that great. But with something like a pellet smoker, anybody can make excellent brisket right on at their house and enjoy it with friends and family. And so why not?
Well, and I think this, I understand, and believe me, I talk on this show to every aspect of the barbecue world. But for the consumers, not the guys that compete, guys and ladies that compete on the weekends, I get that. That's great. But that's a different world than Joe and Betty Lou's suburbia that just want something that they can do and use and enjoy maybe 25, 30 times a year on their back porch. You know, out there, or if they've got a patio or something. And it's different. So, you know, and what you were saying there was applicable to that in the fact of they work. I mean, I'm kind of stereotyping, so forgive me for that, but I'm just trying to paint a picture here. You know, but they work a lot. They don't get a lot of free time when they get home at 6 or 7 at night, depending on what part of the country they live in. It could be still dark, you know, what have you. So anything I think that they can do to make it easier for those folks, because they're not into barbecue like you and I are. You know, they're not. It's a social thing for them. And
well, yeah, and, you know, I get really busy as well. I mean, I don't just cook all the time. You know, I don't get to see, I get a new product in, and unless I have to stand by it and stare at it, you know,
right.
I'm not going to. I always have something else I'm juggling, like everybody with their work day, you know. And when I'm having a party, again, unless I'm testing something and think, well, I might as well kill two birds with one stone and I'll cook a bunch of stuff on this new smoker that I got because I'm testing it anyway. But if I'm smoking something, oftentimes we'll use a pellet smoker because it's easy.
Yeah, it is. It's easy.
And it works great.
You know, you open up the bag, you dump them in the bin, you set the thermometer, you put whatever type of meat it is, you know, it's whether it's brisket or lynx or it doesn't matter. You can put it in there. Mm-hmm. It'll hold the temperature. It's a hell of a lot less work. It's cleaner. Then a lot of people don't want to fuss around with lump charcoal and stuff like that or stick wood. I get the attraction to doing it, and I get the distraction of doing it with some people. So, like you say, I think it's just easier if they can, you know, they can throw their favorite rub they got on it, they stick it in there, and they can come back a few hours later, or if they hear the whistle go off because their pellets are getting low, they go out and fill up the hopper again and they're in business.
Now, we should add, I'm going to guess you'll agree with me, when you get meat that's smoked on wood in a good wood smoker controlled by someone who knows what they're doing,
oh, yeah,
that's
yeah.
going to be the best.
Oh, yeah, 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 no,
but,
no doubt.
You know, if you don't have that skill and you don't have if you don't live by Franklin's and
right.
something like that, you know, and you're just ready to have your 4th of July party and want a simple way of having excellent smoked meats for all your guests. You know, there's a lot of easier ways of doing it, and it'll be pretty dang good.
Yeah,
you know,
maybe, it will.
Yeah, it won't be as good as the as something done on a stick burner with a skilled pit master or mistress operating it, but it's going to be dang good, better than most alleged barbecue that you get at a lot of restaurants. You know, some of the stuff is just food service that's not very good at all. And one of the things we do at Amazing Ribs, and one of the things you do, is tell people, look, you can make ribs at your house, in your backyard, that are way better than the stuff you're going to get at Applebee's or Chili's or a place like that, you know. And it's not that hard, you know. Just get over that first hump, and you're home free. The field is wide open once you see how simple it is, and you're not afraid to, or you're not burying yourself with fear and mythology, like, oh, but what's going to happen? Oh my gosh, you know, I put those pellets in, or oh, I put some wood chunks on there, and oh, now what's going to happen? Is it going to explode? Oh, you know,
yeah.
It was first time smokers. I know I was like that. I was kept reading stuff and I'm cross referencing, and sometimes you overthink things. But when you have a simple device that's easy to operate, you have to learn not to overthink it and just trust the design, I guess.
You know, I'll tell you this, and I know people have heard me say this before in the show, Max. I still have the first offset smoker that I bought, you know, I don't know, 25 years ago, something like that, 30 years ago. It was a New Brunsfeld. It was $149. In fact, I think it was probably like $114 back then or something. And I still have that because about once a year I fire that thing up with all the other stuff I've got at my disposal to use. I will fire that old thing up, you know, burn out the cobwebs and stuff out of it, and, you know, put some stick wood in it, and I'll smoke some tri-tips or some ribs or something. And just one, so I don't lose my skill ability, but two, because, like you said, it's got a different flavor, a very unique and very delightful flavor. And I still do that. And then I, you know, the next day after everything's cooled off, I drag it back out to the shed and put it away for another year. And my wife looks at me like, you're an idiot. You know?
Well, you're a dedicated stick man, I guess.
Well, I love it all. You know, that's the thing. I just love it. You know, if your thing is charcoal or lump charcoal or stick wood or pellets or, you know, even propane or whatever, I certainly have my favorites, as you do. I like the way, you know, I like the way brisket is cooked with, you know, with wood or pellets or something. That's fine. You know, it's all good. But anything that you can prepare for me that's got a nice taste to it, edible, and doesn't rip the teeth out of the back of my mouth, I'm for it. You know?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of good stuff out there. And, you know, now once a backyard smoker, griller gets the hang of it, then, you know, it opens up all kinds of possibilities. We have so many fantastic recipes. Clint Cantwell and, of course, Meathead and some of our other crew have come up with really kind of exotic stuff. And it makes me mad, Jeff, because I always make the same thing. That's something I consistently bellyache about because I'm testing equipment, so I don't want to I oftentimes don't get to try new recipes because I fear that if I botch the recipe, then I kind of wasted my test time.
Right.
Got to redo it then.
Right. No, I get, you know, people come to our house, and on occasion, I mean, we don't entertain a lot, but we do some, you know, but they come over and they want me to cook, of course. And I'm not being trite about that. It's just part of the gig. And, you know, but it's always like, I'd really like to try your ribs, or I'd really like to try your tri-tip, or I'd really like to try your brisket, or, you know, whatever it is. But there's these half a dozen things that you kind of get known for. And like you say, it's parallel to you, you know, wanting to cook the same thing on each smoker or grill or whatever you've got. So you're consistently having a base to judge from. Well, they come over to, you know, the house and do that. If I, you know, went out there and said, hey, look, I'm going to, you know, I'm going to stir fry some salmon and put some truffles in it and do this, which I can do. They go, well, where's the ribs?
Yeah, they're classic smoked meat, starved and deprived.
Yes.
I think, you know, and like I said, you and me and anybody that gets some decent equipment that's easy to operate and puts a little effort in, can make stuff. And your neighbors, your friends are going to come to your place and go, oh my God, these are the best ribs I ever tasted.
Yep.
Yeah, in many cases. Now, there are people who are, you know, gourmets that go to good
barbecue
joints, you know, if they live in an area where those exist, or if they really love it so much that when they're traveling and they go to a place that's known for barbecue, and of course there's going to be a lot of joints in places like Memphis, you know.
Or Texas or whatever, you know, yeah.
But other than that, you know, somebody that just kind of has probably a more routine life that doesn't make a point of going out of their way to get great barbecue, you know, they're going to, yeah, you could say, well, I'm going to make all this fancy gourmet stuff, and they're going to say, well, that's nice, but where's that brisket that you had last time here? That was
right.
The best brisket I ever tasted in my
life,
you know.
So Max, we got about a minute left here, and I know I ask you this in the regular show, but I've given you a little time to think about it too. If there was one really cool thing that you took away from the show, the exposition, what would that be? Not for testing, not for trying out, but one that Max would, like, you know, put in the back of his car or have shipped to him, and this is just Max's. This has nothing to do with Amazing Ribs, nothing to do with Meathead, nothing to do with Tracy on the radio or anything like that. It's just Max. What would it be?
Oh, boy. Well, I guess I might say, you're putting me on the spot, Jeff. Sorry, I should have given this more thought. I'm kind of looking through some of these catalogs I got. I can tell you, maybe I'm reiterating, but one brand that I'm really excited about and I want to start seeing their gas grills in particular in the stores, and that is Landmann. You know, I was thinking,
right,
we were talking earlier about how they keep showing up with all this great stuff at the show, and they're really not getting it out here in the U.S. They only have their upright smokers, and now they have these really cool-looking round pellet smokers, and I'm hoping that this year they really get in gear and get that stuff out. That may not be exactly what you were asking for.
That's okay.
But it is something that's on my mind. And if they do finally start rolling these products out that they've been exhibiting, I'm going to jump on testing them as soon as I can.
There you go. That's going to wrap up After Hours this week with our buddy Max Good. And believe me, Max will be back on the show, you know, in a month or two. He'll have more stuff to tell us about things he's tested. So all you Max addicts out there, just calm down. He'll be back, okay? Max, it was a pleasure to have you on the show again.
It's always wonderful to be invited, and I look forward to our next discussion.
You got it. Until next week, folks, this is JT and for Max Good and After Hours. Take care, everybody.